Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview I did with Chuck Smith. Chuck's story is really unique. Chuck thought he was always going to be a Marine. Surprise to him and everyone else that he dedicated his life to the theater. Listen to how that happened. Stay tuned. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can.
Is about being the person you really are, not the person you think you were supposed to be, not the person other people are, however much you admire or envy them, not even the person you may currently think you are, but the person you really are. It's difficult to understand that the person we think we are is not all there is to us. But unfortunately, this happens to many, too many people. In their childhoods, other people say, that is not all right, don't do that, don't be that. And children are capable of pretending. The pretense gets so good when they come into adulthood, believing themselves to be much, much less than they are. The Lynn Show is about saying, it is possible to recapture what you might have had to leave behind. To help us all see, feel, discover what it is to be all that we really are, I play interviews in my show with people who make their living or their life with an art. I do this because when you listen to people who are doing it, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And the interview I'm airing today is with Chuck Smith, who is who he is in everything that he does. What's so extraordinary about Chuck is that becoming a Marine, being, as he thinks of himself, a military man, when he discovers another aspect of himself serendipitously, unexpectedly, without having looked for it, he jumps on that, allows himself to be that.
He doesn't spend a lot of time asking himself, is this okay? Would other people do this? He listens to himself and he follows his own lead. And that's what I am hoping you will hear when you listen to Chuck Smith tell you the story of his journey and how he wound up where he is. So here, himself, Chuck Smith. I interview people who make their living or their life with an art.
Uh-huh.
And you certainly qualify.
Yeah, I do now.
Well, and the art is directing or theater?
Theater.
Yeah.
Primarily directing. I'm a resident director at the Goodman Theater, but I'm an independent producer, theater artist, which brings me here.
Yeah. Okay, so I only ask one question.
Uh-huh.
And that is, can you remember the very first moment in your life when stories, acting, directing, theater, any of that captured you, called you?
Yeah, I can remember that.
When?
Sure. It was my very first play. I was fresh out of the Marine Corps.
Wait. So you didn't, there was none of this beforehand?
No. I came into this at the age of 25.
Wow.
Yeah. And like I say, I was fresh out of the Marine Corps, getting ready to go back into the Marine Corps because I was a little, I got out just to sort of check out civilian life, and it wasn't what it said, you know, what I thought it might be.
Well, what made you go into the Marine Corps in the first place?
That's the only thing I've ever wanted to do in my life as a kid, was join the Marine Corps.
Do you remember what it was about the Marine Corps?
Yeah, sure, exactly. My uncle served in World War II as a merchant marine. He was missing in action in the Atlantic for like about 2 weeks. And as a toddler, I'm watching my family just disintegrate because my uncle, the marine, is missing.
Yeah.
And so I says, he's an important man. I want to be just like my uncle.
You want to matter.
Going to be a Marine. Now, by the time I realized that he was a merchant marine, I was already hooked on the Marines. And from that point on, I knew exactly what I was going to do with my life, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I got out of high school. I was 17. My mother wouldn't sign for me, so she talked me into going to college for a year. And fine. But as soon as that year was up, I joined the Marine Corps, and I was in the Marines for... I served in the Marines for 2 enlistments. And I got, basically, I got homesick for a minute, and I came home, and I was getting ready to go back, and then, to make a long story short, I walked into a theater, I never walked out. Two guys I knew who was in a community theater group, they were doing a play called Mac, Adam, and Eve, and one of the actors had dropped out during tech. They needed an actor real quick, so I agreed to do it. I learned the lines. It was a comedy, and I was saying these words, and people were laughing, and I was very upset because I didn't want people laughing at me,
God.
I didn't know, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I said I'll do this, but this is the last time because I can't stand having people laughing at me, you know. And so they tried to explain, no, they're not laughing at you, Chuck, they're laughing at your character and all that. They're telling me all the right things that I don't understand.
And actually, because you're doing a good job.
I'm doing a good job, yeah.
Right.
So, curtain call.
Right.
You know, the first wave goes in, you know, people clack, 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 second wave, clack, clack, clack. And then I walks in, and they, yay! That was the moment.
So you're a natural actor.
Yes, natural.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I say I'm a natural theater guy.
Clearly.
Yeah. Acting is very, I did act for quite some time. I'm a professional actor. I hold an equity card. But acting is not my passion.
So this grabs you, and you say, well, maybe not the Marines. And then what do you do?
I stayed with those guys, with that community theater. And from there, I had the GI Bill available to me, so I went back to college and studied theater in college in Chicago.
You got a degree in theater?
Yeah, and business and theater. You know.
Oh, smart guy.
Yeah.
I see. So, okay, so you get a BA, you get a, right?
BA,
and
yeah.
Then you come out and you're like 25 now or something?
Well, no, then, I mean, this is, by the time I got my degree, because I had to work, you know, it was...
So you got a
day gig, right? Yeah, a day gig. I've been a lot of things. A mailman, a computer programmer, and data analyst, lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Theater was always part of it, you know. And so, when I had a family, and in 1988, my daughter got to the point where she didn't need my financial assistance anymore. So that's when I quit my 9-to-5 and did start doing theater full time.
Oh my goodness.
At the age of 50.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, so you would just being a responsible grown-up until then and taking care of your responsibilities and still doing theater on the side, sort of.
Yes, I was a non-commissioned officer when I was in Rankin. I was telling people what to do. Actors don't tell people what to do. Actors do what people tell them.
That's right.
I like to tell people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a director.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly
as simple as that.
So you figured it out fairly soon.
Oh, yeah. It didn't take me long to figure that out.
Okay.
You know.
So did you study directing, or was that part of it?
I studied theater. Acting, directing, I studied everything.
So, okay, so in this 20-year period while you're raising your daughter and, right, and you're working day gigs, you're directing community theater?
There's a lot of theater in Chicago. Right. So I was dabbling in a little bit of everything with everybody. With three other guys, we started the first African-American equity company that's to start off as an equity company. And that was around the time when I started doing this full-time.
So you started to do it full-time, and you've been able to survive?
Yeah. I had a really good job at the state of Illinois. Computer programming, data analyst, and I was good at that, you know, but it wasn't a passion.
No.
You know, and so as soon as I realized that my daughter didn't need me anymore, then I said, it's time to go, you know. And so I left. Everybody thought I was crazy.
Really?
I was nuts, yeah.
Who thought you were crazy?
My whole family. Now, you're going to leave a good job with the state in another 10 years. You can retire, and I said, another 10 years, I could be dead. I knew at the time, you may never get this opportunity again. You stay here, you're going to get hung up in this 9-to-5 thing, you know, and it's really not what you want to do. And so, and the fact that I left the Marine Corps, you know, I can leave this. If I can leave the Marine Corps, I can definitely leave this.
Well, but there's a really, that's a quality. You know, the ability, first of all, to know what you want.
Yeah.
And second of all, to take that risk, to take that leap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to leave. The Marine Corps is a very safe place.
Extremely safe.
You know,
yes.
I mean?
Technically it's safe.
Right, And then, and your job, you're with the Illinois, you know, that was a safe place.
It was a safe place, yeah.
But you didn't need to stay in a safe place.
No.
Everybody doesn't have that.
Yeah, I guess not.
Well, you know so. Everybody was saying to you, don't do it, crazy, right?
Yeah,
so you know that the conventional
wisdom
is you hold on to the safe place.
Yeah.
You don't leap into the nothing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah,
I
twice.
Me. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, I don't, where it comes from, I don't know. It's probably something I got from one of my parents.
I think probably.
Yeah.
Can you think of, I mean, is it a quality that you think of as...
I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
You know, I've always, but you're absolutely right. It's jumping off from a safe place.
Yeah.
You know, but it was never a doubt in my mind.
I see it. I mean, you are a person who can take those. I mean, jumping from a really solid safe job to theater. It's a risk.
It's a risk.
Right.
You know, it's a
okay,
risk.
So, but it worked out for you. It
worked out fine. I've never looked back. Not once have I said, you know, I should have stayed there and did that, that if I had stayed there, I could be blah, 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 blah.
That accident of some actor falling out on Tech Week and them asking you to stand in, I mean, that's...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't find another actor who actually was an actor?
When they asked me, I was highly upset.
Why?
I'm a Marine. I'm getting ready to go back in the Marine Corps. These guys asked me to do some artsy stuff theater.
Yeah.
Don't they know who I am?
That's great. Yeah, they knew who you were.
Evidently. Yeah, you know, but they had to calm me down. And this is, and you know, they used the beautiful carrot. we are in this lounge drinking it. Why do you come to this lounge? I says, to meet people, to meet girls. He says, let me tell you something.
You know that's the, we all know this story.
He says, now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the girls you meet in the lounge, but let me tell you, you can meet a nice, better quality of girls in the theater.
Oh, it's amazing.
And that made sense to me.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. And did you?
Yes, I did. I've been married to two actresses.
You have found So they were right.
They were right.
They were right.
They were right.
It's the thing of being captured by it, knowing it when you feel it. You know, you said you came out on the stage, they applauded like crazy, and you said, this is for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you left the Marine Corps.
I left it. And I was a lifer. I knew I was going to be there for the whole 20 years. And I was talking to other guys, you know, especially guys from the inner city, black guys from the inner city. I said, look, man, there's nothing back there. Stay here and you can grow, you know, you can develop, you know. And a lot of them did.
Yeah.
They re-enlisted. I was getting ready to re-enlist when I got homesick. And I said, you know, something, that's a whole nother story. But anyway, I came home and I stayed home. Some of these guys that I talked into staying, they ended up in Vietnam. And one or two of them didn't make it.
Yeah.
So that's on my, that bothers me on a daily basis. That I, you know, and they wrote to me. They said, you know, just in the days of letter writing. So what is it, why did you, you were the life, you were the one who was telling everybody to stay in.
Yeah.
And you got out. What did you know that you didn't, that you didn't tell us?
Yeah.
I said, you know, there's no convincing these guys that I didn't know.
No.
You know, there's no way I could convince them. Mm-hmm. And I was like I say, it's one of those things that bothers me.
Yeah, I understand. It's not a rosy.
No. You know.
Even though I know you know that everybody makes a choice for themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, you certainly know that when you said what you said, you meant it.
I meant it. I was honest. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But that still doesn't.
And no.
The fact that they.
But
they
life had other plans for you.
Yeah. They got stuck in Da Nang, and I was on stage.
Being applauded.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, no, I think that's a burden. I understand
it.
I understand it. Yeah. So you're paying back by creating all this wonderful art.
Well, I think that has something. I got to make it work.
Yes.
Maybe that's the answer to your question. You know, because of that, I'm driven more to making it work and work well.
Well, and making life better for the people that you can.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Building the African American theater experience makes life better for everybody who participates in
it. That's true.
And you do seem to be someone who, to use a military phrase, is virtually always on a mission.
That's true. Sometimes I have too many missions. But, you know, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, do you want to say anything about the kind of work you've done since you started this?
Well, primarily, I'm an African-American theater artist, and I do African-American theater, you know. Not that I only do African-American theater, but I sort of focus on African-American theater because I think African-American theater needs to be focused on.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I believe.
Has it grown?
Yes, it has grown, and the appreciation for it is growing, but not as fast as I would like it. I direct it, I produce it. I do whatever I can to make it happen whenever. Just like coming here.
Right.
Is, you know, it's helping to make it happen.
When Chuck says, that is why I am here, he's talking about the fact that he is currently a resident director at West Coast Black Theater Troupe in Sarasota, Florida, and that he directs at least one show a year, usually in the winter, pleasing him because his home is in Chicago and it's cold in Chicago. However, he is currently there, direct having our say at the Goodman Theater. I asked Chuck about having our say.
Having our say is a play by the Delaney sisters. Two older women, they were celebrating their 199. They were very elderly when they wrote this book, The Delaney Sister, and tells about the history, their history, and it's entwined with black American history and the struggle and just how they made it through, you know.
Yes, well, 100 yeah. years of history.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
I mean, and they lived through the whole transition.
They did. And they were successful, they both, but they were never married. They lived together. Of course, they're very, very close and, you know, finish each other's sentences.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful capsule look at, it's a great history lesson. I've done it before at the theater where I do summer stock with younger kids, and they did a great job. But I said, I can't wait to get some actors who really of age, who know the history and know the craft.
Right, and who lived through some of that experience, right?
So they know, they felt it. They know exactly what it is. Because I was like the teacher when I did it before. This is what happened. This is what she's talking about, this one. But
well, you won't have to explain any of that.
They know it all because they played these roles, yes. Not these particular roles, but similar roles that, you know.
They
lived these things. Right? Yeah. One of the reasons I chose this play to do it at this particular time is because this year, when I'll be doing the play, this is 2018, is a voting year. And the Delaneys were really, really tough on people who didn't vote. They say, you know, and it's sprinkled all the way through the play about the real necessity to vote.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, this is the play for this time. This is, you know, just to make sure. A little needles, hey, look, don't forget, we got to vote. Yeah. If we don't vote, we can't complain. And that's exactly what their motto is in the play. If you don't vote, shut your mouth up. You ain't got nothing to say.
Yeah. It's great. And so do you know when it opens and how long it runs?
It officially opens on the 14th of May. Mm-hmm. And then it runs, for about 4 weeks at the Goodman Theater.
Okay.
Till mid-June.
Great. Yeah. So the other question I ask is, having given as much of your life to theater as you have, what would you say about what that's like?
Knowing where I started out, you know, knowing that I wanted to be a Marine and ended up in theater like this, to me, it obviously was destined to happen. I don't think I could do anything else. And with the passion that I have for this, I consider myself very fortunate to be able to do what I do and love it so much, mm-hmm. you know, and do it at in different parts of the country. You know, especially getting out of Chicago in the wintertime.
Yeah, all right. I hear that.
You know, there's some perks to this, yeah. You know. But yeah, but it's just, to me, I can't see doing anything else.
So I hope that you heard what I heard in this interview. Chuck the Boy discovers that when one is a Marine, people care about you. It matters to them what happens to you. And that becomes a driving force in his life. He will be someone who matters, for whom people care. So at the very first opportunity, he jumps on that and becomes a Marine. He does two tours as a Marine. He is a Marine. He is a military man. That's his identity. That is who he believes himself to be. Then life throws him a curve. He decides to take a little break. He quickly decides that civilian life, really not for him. And he's going to re-up. He's going to do another tour because he's a military man. And then some friends need an actor. Well, he's not an actor. He's actually insulted to be considered an actor. Don't they know who he is? He's a military man, for God's sake. But they appeal to him in the way that people have always been appealing to young men. There are interesting and attractive women there. And so he agrees to help his friends. And then, surprise to him, he is captured by the experience of applause, of the validation of what he's done on stage, because clearly he's a natural actor. And he discovers inside himself this thing he didn't know was there. But never mind. He feels it, and he abandons his earlier concept of Chuck and embraces this new emerging concept of Chuck. And then, because he's a person of responsibility, when he marries and has a child, he dedicates much of his time to protecting that, caring for that, making the money that is required for that, never letting go of this attachment that has grown in him to the theater. And the very minute that his responsibility recedes, his daughter no longer needs him to support her, he leaps from that job that everybody says he should stay in. Isn't he foolish? But he knows who Chuck is. And so again, he simply leaves the safe thing, leaves the old identity, and embraces himself. And as you can hear, this is so clearly the right choice for Chuck, because everything he says about it, as an actor, as a director, as a producer, as an advocate for Black theater, you can hear the passion, the commitment in his voice. So I play interviews like this, hoping that you will hear it and listen to yourself and wonder, is this what I sound like when I talk about what I do with my life? Am I leaping into the thing that screams that it is for me? Or am I holding back because something else is safer or other people won't understand or no one else would do it or, you know, all the reasons that we give ourselves? And if you find yourself in that bind, maybe you do want to think about going into therapy to explore how you became someone who was unable to be themselves. So I want to say, as always, that I hope that you got something from this show. Something that amused you, informed you, tickled you, something that'll bring you back. Because I will be back next week, same time, same station. And as always, I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you see my face and figure. I've both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have gotten